Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 37 in Jesus' name. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, and who is my neighbor? That was a law expert's reply to Jesus' words, "Do this and you will live." The man had just answered Jesus correctly when asked what the law requires. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." This man was looking for some wiggle room, some legal loophole. The man was perhaps looking for an answer not much different from that of the Sesame Street song, "Who are the people in your neighborhood?" They're the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. They're the people that you meet each day. According to his reasoning, a neighbor must mean a fellow countryman, someone of his same race, religion, and mindset. But there are no loopholes here. You can't narrow down the type of people God's law requires you to love. The law expert, though, refused to admit that he lacked the love that God commands. Instead, he wanted to appear outwardly righteous. He wanted to be told what a good job he was doing at obeying God's law. He was wanting to justify himself, to assure himself that he was in good standing before God and his fellow men. So he asked, "And who is my neighbor?" The lawyer wanted to consider the right people to be his neighbors. The question faced by those who passed by the man by the side of the road in the parable was, "Is this person really worthy of my help?" Do you excuse your lifestyle by narrowing down when, how, and with whom you react with love? It seems we don't want to give help to just anyone. We don't want to be taken advantage of. Maybe we want to be paid back. And we're all familiar with the term fair weather friend. When a situation arises, when someone may need your help, do you ask, "Do they need my help?" Or do you first ask, "What kind of person is this?" Are we afraid to be a neighbor to the wrong people because of what others may think? One of the Proverbs addresses this behavior. "He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy." Notice that Jesus did not directly answer the question, "Who is my neighbor?" but rather through the parable of the Good Samaritan shows what it is to be a neighbor to someone. As one commentator writes, "Christ does not talk about knowing one's neighbor, but about oneself being a neighbor, as the Samaritan proved himself one by his compassion. For by his compassion, he did not prove that the man attacked was his neighbor, but that he was the neighbor to the one who was assaulted. Keep in mind that at the time when Jesus told this parable, Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Through this parable, Jesus showed that all people, even strangers and supposed enemies, are our neighbors. So who is the true Good Samaritan? If God had been concerned with our worthiness, Jesus would have never appeared on this earth. But Jesus looked upon us in our wretched state and had mercy upon us. By nature, we are like the man by the side of the road, having fallen into the hands of sin, death, and the devil. Our lives are filled with misery and distress. We are helpless on our own, unable to do or desire God's will. We are bound by our own sinful desires and easily lured in by the lusts of our flesh. While we have all failed to be the kind of neighbors God would have us be, Jesus Christ is himself the true Good Samaritan, who has perfectly shown his love toward his heavenly Father and to his neighbor. In obedience to the Father's will, Jesus came down from heaven and was made man. He became our substitute under the law and kept God's will in the Ten Commandments perfectly in your place. Even in anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he was going to die for the sins of all mankind, he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for us and for our salvation. Jesus exemplifies the self-sacrificing love that God commands. As we read in John 15, "No greater love hath a man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." Jesus concludes the parable of the Good Samaritan by asking, "Which of the three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" The law expert replied, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." How difficult it is for us to go and do likewise. When we meet the man by the side of the road, our neighbor with whom we come into contact with his various needs. So often we're bound up in our own interests that no matter how much compassion we'd like to have for our neighbor, we just don't have the time to maintain a sustained interest in him. So we hold back our help. We're afraid to get too involved, to waste our time and energy. Such selfless love toward God and our neighbor is only present as a fruit of faith in Jesus our Savior. John's first letter shows us the true motivation for our love of God and neighbor. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A lawyer asked Jesus two questions that day. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then, who is my neighbor? He had chosen his questions carefully. He wanted to make himself look good and try to trick Jesus. Yet Jesus saw right through these man's questions, right down into the man's heart. He knew that the man was trying to earn his way to heaven. And so Jesus showed him that he was unable to do this. But Jesus did not leave him helpless. Instead, by the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus gave this man a vivid picture of his own self-sacrificing love for all people. So also Jesus, the Good Samaritan, does not leave us in our wretched state. He takes us to himself to be his own by the word of God and holy baptism. Jesus doesn't demand that we first come to him or that we first try to make ourselves worthy of his kindness. Rather, our perfect neighbor comes to us in his grace and mercy. He binds up our wounded conscience and heart with the healing balm of his forgiveness. Jesus has brought us to the inn of his church, where we receive the salve of the gospel in word and sacrament, the medicine of immortality that will carry us from this life into our eternal home in heaven. Motivated and strengthened by Jesus' self-sacrificing love toward us, we are enabled to love our neighbors as Christ first loved us. Amen. O Almighty and most merciful God, you teach us to love you with our whole heart and our neighbor as ourselves. Through your bountiful goodness, continue to fill us with compassion for those who are suffering, that we, being ready in body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever things you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.